So the shepherd speaks. I started off with that this morning, and I believe sometimes he whispers. To who of you have the shepherd whispered before? I would hope it's everybody. The shepherd is Jesus. Whisper is talking softly and talking into your heart or spirit, man. Who's ever heard the voice of the shepherd audibly? Like, soos dit. Oh, that's quite cool. I want to hear the story. But often the Lord just comes and He whispers into our hearts. Who loves the voice of the Lord? Amen. That's probably why in this church. Not everybody in the world apparently loves the voice of the Lord. But it's something I'm really passionate for and what I would lay down my life for. It's a place of safety. It's a place of grace. It's a place of affirmation. It's a place of calling and identity. It's lots of things. And obviously, I can't put it in one sermon, so we're going to touch on a small part of it, which I believe flows in with what we've been doing this year. So what did the prophetic theme for the years, and the reason why I, by the way, even though I've got little time, why I repeat these things is you can very often shoot off messages, like hundreds of messages in 2-3 years, but I believe the Lord wants us to build so that you can have something to show for what you've listened to. And what you've taken home. Now, I cannot decide what you do with the plants that you buy. Or the things that you... If you go to Stodels or what's the place just down the road? Stockairs. Edna loves those places. If you go there, you can buy plants and they're amazing. They've got lots of potential. But what we do with them afterwards is what really counts. Now, my house, our garden at the moment, it looks brilliant, but... I don't have green fingers. So it's one thing buying a beautiful plant. It's another thing seeing it grow and flourishing, becoming something. And that's the same with church. The reason why I sometimes just go back and say, hey, remember what we're doing, class, is because I want you to take the stock air plant and I want to see it in 20 years' time in your garden. Okay, 3 people got that. I want whatever you get from church, whatever you get from discipling, whatever you get from our gatherings, I wanted to actually change your life. Or else, by Wednesday, you can say, man, that was an amazing sermon. I'm like, hell yeah. Heaven yeah. And I'm like, what was it about again? And like, I have no clue. I can't remember. So the reason why we do this is we want to build a wineskin so that when the new wine comes, when the anointing comes, it actually changes a life. Okay, so that's the reason. Not that I have time for this long intro, but that's the reason why I do it. It's not to make up time. It's not because I didn't prepare. It's because I'm building. And I want us to build into each other's lives and disciple and say, well, at the end of this year, hopefully, most of us would have gone through the Sermon on the Mount. Most of us would have thought about the fact that that is vastly different than the culture we live in. Most of us will realize again that this was a bloody tough year. The storms, the winds, and the waves did come. And then we'll put 2 and 2 together and realize, whoa, if I took all of those words of Jesus, of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I implement it in my life, I act upon it, I will be building my house on a rock that when the trouble comes, when the storm comes, my house will not be a major collapse. Wow, church actually changed a bit of my life. And now, as Chris said, I can go and impart this, hopefully, or at least a part of it, into a next generation. So that's why we often do these things, and that's why I repeat these things, so that we can build and not be found wanting. Because believe you me, in this church and in my life and in some of your lives, the storms did come this year. And I don't want, as the scripture says, the collapse to be great. No, none of us wants to see that. And the irony is, on what you build in the foundation of your life only gets tested once the fire or the water or the test of life do come around. So I pray that they don't come, but they do come because Scripture promises us, and that's why we build. So we said to each other, Jesus is enough, which sounds very cute, but bottom line is Christ alone is enough. Not your spouse, not your kids, not your brilliant job, not your car, not your church, firstly and foremostly, but Christ Jesus Himself. Now, He gives church, and it is of Him. And He gives, if it's granted to you, a spouse, and hopefully it's of Him, because otherwise you're in trouble. He gives the kids, hopefully again, of Him, which is a blessing. But the bottom foundation for this year is that Jesus is enough. Who's been tested on that this year? I've definitely been tested. Am I saying Christ, Christ, Lord, Lord, and is he truly Lord? So we're building on that, and then we said, look here, we need to build your house on the rock. What do? We listen to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That we know by now. What does that really mean? It means that if you do these things, you will be wise. And your house will not be collapsing. So the three elements that we took out there, out of verse 24 of Matthew 7, which is, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. Now, the three elements we took out was, you can go to the next slide, sorry. Cute graphics. Even the next one. There you go. So I'm just saying where we're at and why we're quickly sharing this message today. So we want to be wise. We want to build on the rock. And the way we do it is we hear the words of Jesus and we act upon that. Look to your neighbor, say, hear, words, act. How's that breath? Okay, never mind. Hear, words, act. But the hear part for me is important this morning. So we're going to, that's why we're doing what we're doing. I'm not randomly thinking, oh, this is a cute thing to say. I like it. I'm passionate. Let's do it. I'm thinking, how would this be a blessing unto your discipleship? How would this be a blessing unto building your own spiritual life? And this is why. Jesus is enough, the foundation. We're looking to the Sermon on the Mount because Christ had led us there this year. We're saying, if we hear these words, if we do them, we will be wise and our house will not have a great collapse. So the hearing part is where we're at in the mind map today. And so the Lord led me to John 10, 27 and 28 and John 5 this past week. Verse 5 was actually what came up in my spirit. But they will run away from strangers, never follow them because they know its voice of a stranger. What I always know in my spirit is, my sheep will know my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. So even if you only take that away today, it's at least a good start for your pastor. My sheep will know my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. So who again is passionate about the voice of the Lord? Who's passionate about the voice of a stranger? Look, you can open up a can of worms now by saying what it is, because a voice of a stranger is many times much more closer to home than we would think. The voice of a stranger is rife in our culture. It's part of the flesh. It can be money. It can be pride. It can be lust. It can be many, many things of fear, bitterness, anger, laziness. It can be many things that the enemy uses. Because what he does is he can only imitate. So the Lord can create, but the enemy can only imitate. And he brings fakes to the table. And now it gets tricky. My sheep will know my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. Now why would I want to know his voice? Just quickly, why do you want to know God's voice and hear it? Direction? Yes. Thank you. You had me worried there, everybody looking at me. Anybody else? Why would you want transformation? That's why she wants to hear the shepherd's voice. Why do you want to hear the shepherd's voice? To not die. Yes, absolutely. That's brilliant. No, that is it. We don't want to die. Spiritually, but also physically. Materially for that. That's why you want to hear the shepherd's voice. And that's actually brilliantly because it shows a fair amount of humility in saying that. I just don't want to die. Dirk. To discern, yes. Because the shepherd will help you to discern. So it's something that I'm really passionate about, and that's part and partial part of my life. And it's not usually, it is for the nice stuff. It is for the exciting stuff. I love vision. I love prophetic vision. I love the Lord to challenge me. I love to pack up and go. That was one of the first things I heard from the Lord way back before we moved out to Malmesbury. He just said to me, pack up and go. Now, the moment he says that, it's like, boom, everything goes off in you. You're like so full of zeal. You're excited. You're obviously nervous. But God has spoken to me. I know the first time that I've heard or remember hearing the voice of the Lord was the day he said to me that I will be marrying Edna. Now, that is very dangerous. Do not follow my way in this, because there's certain principles that people will teach you in religious circles. Don't go there. What is it? Boats, dates, mates, and babies or something. But be careful when you think you're hearing of the Lord in certain areas. Dates, if you're getting babies, especially the sex of babies, boats, in other words, material stuff like cars and stuff, and then dates, like the ones that you're going to get married. But I must say, I'm just going to be honest, the first time that I heard the Lord's voice was, I was sitting in the library in the law section studying for my, third year exams in Stellenbosch. And I clearly, that's why I'm not a lawyer anymore. I was praying about a wife when I had to study for private law, probably, or Roman law, whatever it was. And so that's the first time I heard his voice. And ever since, I've just grown in it. And I love it. I love it. When he told me we should pack up and go and leave everything, leave Cape Town, leave everything and move off and follow him. I love it. Is there any kids? Yeah, there's no kids here. But with all due respect, and please guard your heart if you're sensitive towards these things, but there's one thing that who the parents in this place, who knows that there's a fair amount of difference between sex and having kids? In other words, there's a difference between making kids and having kids. Can I have an amen on that? So I'm sorry. Sorry, we... Okay, there's a fair amount of difference, okay? And it's like that sometimes when the Lord speaks to you, it's like, wow! But you don't realize this is going to kill you. This is actually going to kill me. The Lord is going to take me through process. He's going to chisel me. He's going to prune me. And I'm going to get to know him big time through this prophetic word or his voice speaking to me. Now, that's the big stuff. Obviously, in the smaller things, he can lead you daily. Who checks in with the Lord daily or even more than that, hourly or even more than that in hearing his voice in their day-to-day life? Who does that? You don't have to. It's not a tit-for-tat. It's not a Sunday school class. It is a Sunday school class. But it's just a way of living for me. So I check in on everything with the Lord. And I've just come to a place where I realize that this is safest place for me, is to know his voice. Because as we shared a couple of weeks back on the virgins and the wise virgins and the unwise virgins, there were ones that actually rocked up at the door and he said, I do not know you. In other words, there were no intimacy, no chatter, no communication between them and him. And likewise, we want to be different. We want to communicate with him. Why do you value, just maybe quickly before we move on, why do you value the voice of God? I think we've established, we all do, value, or at least you put up your hand. You do value the voice of God, but why do you value the voice of God? And what is its value? You're completely lost without him, yeah. It immediately gives peace. I love that. You're lost without it. It immediately gives peace, yes. Makes you feel safe. Again, it's a shepherd theme coming through very, very clearly. Direction makes you feel safe, etc. The value for me, just quickly, the value, I had to think long and hard and then it just hit me. What is the value of his voice today being able, all of us? Do you know how fortunate we are to live in this day and age to hear the Lord's voice through his spirit? There's hundreds of years where this was not the case. I just wrote down, his death was the price of his voice. I want you to think about it. His death was the price of his voice. Does it make sense? Sin broke relationship between us and the Lord. So there was a scathing. And so for that to be reestablished, for us to be back into his presence, for us to hear, connect with God again, and obviously then receive his Holy Spirit by which we hear his voice today predominantly, a perfect, spotless lamb Jesus Christ had to pay for. That's the beauty of the shepherd. If you think about it spiritually and theologically, the shepherd gave his life so that you can hear him. Do you have any idea how cool that is? They call pastors shepherds. I'm very sorry, but I'm far from that place where I've died, and I just say this boldly and probably not even in shame, but that is the real shepherd. He died so that you can hear him. I didn't die. Yes, a part of me died a bit so that I can preach. Some of me die now and again, but not remotely like Jesus died, so that you can hear God's voice today. So that's why I value it, because he said, my perfect, spotless life I would give so that my sheep can hear my voice. I think it's brilliant. I should value God's voice, because Jesus paid for it with his life so that I may hear. Let's quickly move to the scriptures. John 10, 24 to 30. We're going to look at the scripture. Then we're going to look at what the promises are that we can receive. And then there's elements, four elements that I'm just going to highlight that's easy to remember, so that we can go home and think about this and value his voice again and realize, whoa, this is why the shepherd speaks. He speaks to me and he wants to speak to me daily. I need to hear and heed to what he says. Let's dig into the scripture. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. There's one key already. So sometimes he speaks, but only certain people can hear him, those that believe. It's a childlikeness again. If pride have clogged up your heart, it's like worship this morning. If pride or my own comfort have clogged up my heart, I can't have freedom and I will struggle to connect with the Lord. But if I humble my heart before him, if I bow my knee and just empty myself of myself again, I come to a place of freedom and connection. It's likewise with hearing the Lord's voice. It's if I empty myself of myself, if I let go of my religious pride or self-righteousness, or whatever I'm holding on to that is not Jesus, if I let go of those things, I'm in a better space to hear his voice. Unfortunately, the Jews were not. Jesus answered them, I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. So we see here that those that are not his sheep will not hear him. And unfortunately, without judging, the world is full of them. So we look like fools to the world. Sheep look like fools to goats. Sheep will always look like fools to goats, because goats do not hear the voice of the shepherd, but sheep do hear. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. My sheep know my voice, and I know them. I want you to eat this. I want you to take it in, drink it in, make it your own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, if you slowly unpack that, there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's a lot of promise in there. I'm just going to read it. We're going to run to it just now again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And John 10:5 says, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So two things here is that if you are part of the flock, you will hear him, you will follow him, and that's beautiful. But he not only speaks, there's also strangers that speak to the flock. And please don't hear when I say flock only Shofar Table View. It's much bigger than that. Yes, we are a flock and a part of his bigger flock. Yes, absolutely. But I've seen how people just misuse scripture here to make it as if it's just our own little church. And I'm Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Hopefully his spirit is in me. But strangers obviously whisper to the flock as well, for which we need to be careful. Two things that stand out why it's important for me, why the shepherd speaks, is safety and life. It was mentioned here before. Safety and life. He speaks because he wants to keep safe. Who remembers the whole of Psalm 23? There's a lot said in there. What does the good shepherd do in Psalm 23? Come think. He leads you beside still waters. So that's one of the things. He leads you beside still waters. What else does he do, the good shepherd? He restores your soul. He makes your cup run over. His rod and his staff, his puppies, they comfort me. Dis net 'n grappie. So he does all of those things because he's the good shepherd, and he does it through what? Communicating, taking lead. What else does he do in Psalm 23? Think back. He prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. He leads me where else? The valley of the shadow of death. Lekker. Hey? He doesn't always only take me to the quiet, still waters. Sometimes the good shepherd speaks and he whispers and he says, hey, guess what? Buckle up. We're going to go through the valley of shadow of death now. But the beauty of all of these elements that, well done, you guys remember, all of these elements is that he is constantly with them. How he does that? He communicates with them. Now you can go, Edna has done so before, you can go research what the guides and the shepherds in those times have done, and it's really beautiful, all the elements, but we don't have time for it this morning. But it's just so evident that he wants to do life with you. He has given the value of that voice that you hear is that he's given his time and his all. If you think of David, before becoming king, before going to slay Goliath, he was out in the field with his flock, with his dad's flock daily for weeks and months and seasons on end. So it's time, 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 time. How do you want to know the Lord's voice? How do you want to know the shepherd's voice? Guess what? Spend some time with the flock in his presence. Time, 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 time. How do I trust him when I go through the valley of shadow of death? Why do I trust him when I go through the valley of the shadow of death? Because I was there when he led me to the still quiet waters. Why am I there when he puts me down at the table that he's prepared in the presence of my enemies? Because I saw him with his rod and his staff when he comforted me. So I don't nitpick. I don't want to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to follow him there, but I like the still quiet waters. It's like saying, I like going on holiday, but I'm not going home with you guys this year. I'll see you at Hartenbos next year again. No, no, you do family. You do dishes. You pay bills. You do diapers. You do everything, and then if you're lucky, you do holiday together. And it's likewise with the shepherd. And sometimes we want to nitpick the things of the shepherd, but he says, no, I do life with you. But I want to hear your voice about my call. No, no, no. I want you to lay down your life and serve in your church. Oh, do you speak about that as well? Yes, I do. That wasn't a jibe at anybody or anything. I'm just saying sometimes he asks you for sacrifice. And I just want to, Lord, I just want to go to the nations. Oh, but what about down your street, Ruthie? I do have a heart for the nations, but I also need to have a heart for my street. Maybe you should preach less and wash the dishes. Get ye behind me, Satan. Is that the Lord speaking? Bottom line is, does he sit in his side? The shepherd wants to be a part of all of that that we see in Psalm 23. Not only the great finale, not only the crescendos, but when we go through the tough, he wants to be part of all of that, and he wants to speak to you and me because he wants to give you safety and life. There's lots of examples that I took out of the Word that we don't have time for, so we're going to skip all of those slides about where God speaks, where Christ speaks into a situation. He spoke to Mary. He spoke to Peter getting out on the water. Even in Numbers, you see how Moses would go into the tent with God, and God will speak him where? From above the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. For me, it's so beautiful. So out of mercy, he speaks to us as his people. And we see that in the New Testament as well. Don't have time to go into all of those things. Maybe I can end off that section by asking this. Has the shepherd ever spoken to you? Yes, no. Yes, great. How did it make you feel? Amazing. Has he ever said something that's tough? Amen. Has the shepherd ever come with his rod and his staff and chased away something that you thought was good, but was not good for you? I'm enjoying some of these sniggers and laughs and smiles. So the bottom line is we can see him in our midst, the shepherd do speak, because he wants you to be safe, he wants to lead you, and he wants you to have life. Can I have an amen on that? Because I think it's good news. So quickly, the elements and the promises in this passage. Let's quickly look at the passage again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. That snatching part we're going to get to at the end, because I believe that's important. If you should take a parallel to what we've been discussing on the Sermon on the Mount, the wise man and the foolish man. The foolish man built his house on the sand, the wise on the rock. And likewise, I believe being snatched in this example will be like you've been building your house on the sand and its collapse was great. Who's ever feared being snatched from the Lord's hand? Who's ever feared backsliding? Especially on a Sunday morning in a pastor's house, getting everybody ready. You kind of have to question, are we backslidden or are we still believers? Edna said the joke, this morning actually went well. But there's been a couple of Sundays where I've questioned our salvation. But luckily, I stand on Scripture. His sheep will know his voice, and the voice of another they will not follow, and he will not be snatching anybody out of his hand. Promises. The promises that I see here is, sheep will know his voice. Might sound very simple, but if you're truly a sheep, part of the flock, then you will hear his voice. Have you ever thought in your Christian walk that there's some people that can hear the voice of God and some that can't? Has anybody ever made you feel that way? Forgive them. That was the voice of a stranger. Good example. For Christ says, if you are part of my flock, if you are part of my sheep, you will hear my voice. Now, we can look each other in the eye and say, if it's not always that easy. Yes, I know. There's seasons where I need to wrestle of what is the shepherd saying. Shepherd, I'm hearing from you. It's not mixed signals. I'm just thinking through my hurt and broken lenses and filters, my fleshly nature, my old identity, like we heard, that wants to just come out of the woodworks. And so I need to fight for what I hear the shepherd is saying. But he speaks to his sheep. So if you never ever hear, or if someone never ever hears the voice of the shepherd, they should maybe question if they are part of the flock or if they are truly saved, according to Scripture. The first promise, we hear his voice and then we follow him. That's maybe an important thing to remember. I think charismatics in our Western civilization, where we're comfort-based, where things are nice and easy and on iPads and iPhones and a click away and a drive-through away and things are at our doorstep, we can come to a place where when the Lord speaks, we like it, but we don't necessarily follow through in obedience. It's one thing for the shepherd to speak, it's another thing for the sheep to follow. Second promise I see there is if you are part of his sheep, you have eternal life. That's a biggie. All right? You have eternal life. Third thing is you will never perish. We do so many things in life not to perish. Yet he says, hey, if only you will listen to me, you will not perish. It's not your salary first. It's not your bonus. It's not your savings that will firstly save you from perishing. What will save you from perishing is if you hear me and follow me. Does that make sense? Does that excite you, gang? Doesn't look like it does, but this is truth. And the fourth thing is no one will snatch you from my hand. You cannot be lured or caught off guard by the enemy if you are constantly hearing God's voice. When can I be snatched? In other words, I can be snatched if I don't hear his voice. I can be snatched if I don't heed to his voice. So if I don't spend time with him, if I don't spend time with him within his flock, if I don't go through the process of Psalm 23 and actually go to the still waters, if I don't take on when he comes with his rod and his staff to take things out of my life, if I don't follow him through the valley of the shadow of death, if I harden myself towards his voice, guess what? I don't have the promise of not being able to be snatched. 1 Peter refers to the enemy, the enemy walking like a roaring lion, ready to devour. When are we as a church? When are we as individuals? When are we as families and married couples? When are we open targets to predators? I believe when we switch off to the voice of the shepherd. And not only switch off to it, but not value it. Yeah, yeah. That's a nice idea. The Lord challenged you on maybe on giving or loving or forgiving or serving or just picking up stuff at home. He comes and he forewarns, the shepherd speak, and you're like, you don't value his voice no more. You become an open target to the predators to come around and have you as lunch. So quickly, the four S's before we finish that I took out of this, so that we can easily remember and actually build on something that can change our lives. These two elements, my sheep will know my voice and the voice of another, they will not follow. In other words, if we heed to his voice, there will be promises of eternal life, not perishing. We will go through the process of Psalm 23 and lossy. We will not be snatched. The four S's that's important, four elements to remember is, firstly, you need to be sheep. Secondly, there is a shepherd, and I'll explain that just now. The third thing is he does speak, and we've touched on that. He's not a God that does not speak, and you need to allow him to speak. And in that place of speaking, you need to then discern what is speaking of him and what is strangers. And the fourth thing is not being snatched. Let's quickly look at sheep. What is the characteristics of sheep? Anybody been a sheep farmer? Now, maybe I should start politely at the right. Anybody a vegan? No vegans. Praise God. They're a real church, eh? No, I'm just joking. Please cut that out. Who likes loin choppies? Hallelujah. Now, if you should know something about Edna, she's not here. You don't entertain Edna with chocolates and flowers as much as you can entertain her with lamb chops. You've got her down to a T, around your finger if you've got chops, but that's just on the side. So if you ever want to just manipulate the pastor's wife, you know how to do it. It's quite an expensive exercise these days. It's not a skimp, I'm just joking, but yeah. So sheep, what is the characteristics of sheep? Apparently they're a bit stupid. Hey? They go where they're not supposed to. That's where the shepherd's rod come in. But absolutely. They're docile, they're quiet. I would like to say they're humble. They're darn dirty sometimes, but anyway. But they're humble creatures. If I should have any, they're not really driven or very visionary or self-reliant or self-starters and jet-setters. I don't really see that with them. And they kind of just eat and feed and poop, probably. And then they give Edna chops. It's really not such a bad life. Yes, they're vulnerable. I like that. Sheep are vulnerable. We need to learn something from sheep. They follow the leader, absolutely. They flock together. So there's something about the humility factor there where when we scroll through media, social media, and we think of what think people and stuff should look like and filters, etc., we're like, I don't give many photos of sheep. And they don't have to, unless it's choppies at a grand restaurant. But other than that, they're humble, docile creatures. And I think we should learn from them. Goats, on the other hand, which the scripture refers to, goats, what's goats like? Stubborn. Hardkoppig. Steeks. Sorry, these Afrikaans words are just so much better. What else do you see from goats? Arrogant. Yes, yes. Headbutting. Yes. None of us have ever had any of those goat-like problems, have we? Nah, oh, whatever. So we start off by seeing that sheep are the ones that he is attracted to that will hear his voice. Secondly, there's a shepherd. Now, Philip said, somebody takes lead when there's sheep. And with a shepherd, and here is maybe where we get challenged a bit. Do you know that the shepherd, if you see, look through Psalm 23, the shepherd is in total control. Obviously, if you let him and if you go with him. But he's in total control. It's not a big democratic vote when the lion or the wolf comes around. Or where we need to eat or where we're going to lie down. There's not a democracy. We don't vote on it. I don't see that in Scripture. So here's the thing. We're like, oh, my good shepherd. He will look after me. He'll lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. But important part, he also wants full control. Who loves that idea? The goats are like, like that nuts. But that's where the flesh comes in, and that's where you can test your flesh today, is that he takes total control and decision making. So when you're like, yes, Lord, speak to me, but not about that, not about that, not about that, but yes, maybe about, yes. Definitely the car, the husband, and the house, you can chat. Yes, we can do a dog as well. But not about serving, laying down my life, dying upside down on the cross, that cannot be you. And so we kind of chop and change what we'd like to hear from the shepherd, but he says, no, no, no. If you want to follow me, then I've got decision-making power in your life. He's good. He whispers. He's loving. He's tender. He's amazing, and he's only got your good at heart, but we need to wholeheartedly give over to him. Who loves that idea? Except me and Demi. Third S. First two S's was you need to be sheep. You need to be sheep. Second one, there is a shepherd, and he takes full control in decision-making in your life. You're going to wholeheartedly follow him, or you're going to be chow. You decide. Third thing is, he speaks, he communicates, and we've gone through that more than enough. But when he speaks, this is maybe the one thing I quickly like to highlight, is when he speaks, it's for your safety, it is for your security, and it is for life. And the beautiful thing of the shepherd that I also think about now in this moment is that when the shepherd, as I seen, Komala, when the shepherd speaks, it is not only for me. It is about the flock. It's about other sheep as well. That's the beauty of love. If the Lord asks these two stunning people to do something crazy with their life, most amazing, and the shepherd keeps on speaking, it is about them. It's about life security, losing their own life. But it is also about touching other sheep and sheep-to-be. And that's sometimes we don't understand everything he says. Who's ever had a word of the shepherd, of Jesus, of the Lord, through his Holy Spirit that didn't make sense? Who's ever had a word that totally freaked you out? Come on, hands up. I wish everybody would put up their hand. Who's ever had a prophetic word that freaked you out? Who's ever had a tough word of the Lord? Amen. So that's the real voice of God. And so he speaks, but he will speak to us for safety and security, but not only for you, but also for others. And then lastly, when he speaks, and if you want him to speak, you need to have time with him. And very simply, who hears my message this morning?
People that are here.
People that are here, yes. People that can literally hear it. So if you literally want to hear his voice, you need to stay close to him. How do you stay close to him? Humble heart, reading the scriptures and knowing what it says and doing what he commands. That's how you show your love for him. You do what he says. By his grace, by his anointing, and being enabled by his spirit, you do that. Lay down the flesh, say yes to the spirit, and follow him. And then you'll hear him more and more and more. Praise God, I didn't only hear the Lord say, you're going to marry Edna one day, way back when I was studying for a law exam. Praise God that after that I've heard his voice a million times over. And I've grown in that. And likewise should we. And the last thing that is important, what I believe is at the Lord's heart, is that if we are close to the shepherd, if we spend time with the shepherd, the promise in the scripture is that you will not be snatched from his hand. He then says, his hand and God's hand is as one. In other words, and he refers to nothing being bigger or stronger or more powerful than God the Father. In other words, you're in a safe place in his hand. But you're going to stay in his hand and not be snatched if you hear what he says, and you keep on following. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Who's the one that wants to snatch? It's the stranger's voice. So now we have made it very clear that there is multiple voices speaking to us, ministering to us, trying to influence us, sway us, lead us, shepherd us, flock us in, and we need to constantly battle and distinguish which one is it. How do we, in closing, how do we distinguish the stranger's voice? How have you distinguished the stranger's voice in your life? Dirk? Prayer and seeking counsel. Yes. Not of strangers, but of sheep. Not of goats. Because you can... I've been accountable to the wrong people once. I got hurt. I didn't make a wrong decision, but I got terribly hurt. My own stupidity, but so I learned. So I went to a goat, well, in that context, a goat-like person, that a believer, but they weren't anointed for that counsel. But I pushed it. So there I burned my fingers. But yes, absolutely, prayer and seeking counsel. How else do you distinguish the voice of the shepherd and the voice of a stranger? Yes. Tested through the Spirit, through your Holy Spirit. Yes, absolutely. And the word furthermore says that you will know them by their fruit. So if I come in and I'm full of miracle signs and wonders, I want to see much more in this church, make no mistake. I'm full of the gifts of the Spirit. But the word does not say you'll know them by their gifts. It says you know them by their fruit. Fruit is more difficult to cultivate. If you bear the gifts of the Spirit, by the way, you've been given it for free. You can screw up behind closed doors and still walk in the gifts. So be careful who you listen to, who you follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, who you listen to, whose sermons. At the end of the day, go into their homes and see how they treat their family. Knowing in the same sense, I can honestly tell you I don't do it perfectly. You can come to my house. But you will know them by their fruit, not by their gifts. Albert, you have it to say it. Ach, Albert, jy's te nice. Jy's te nice. Hy sê die woorde uit sy mond het gevat. Ek sal weer teruggee. Yes, Tish. Yes, conviction versus condemnation. It adds a beauty to what you said. Testing through, discerning through the Spirit. Oh, brilliant. Peace versus confusion. That's how you discern it. Two places that I see in Scripture before we close. Because I think this is pretty important in this day and age that we know the difference between the stranger's voice. By the way, now that I think about it, for me it's knocking, seeking, asking. I don't stop. I do not stop. So I've heard something of the Lord. Now I don't want to go back in unbelief, and I have done so before, and he'll tell me I've already told you. But sometimes I'll just go back to make sure. There's nothing wrong with my 3-year-old comes back to make sure, to make sure, to make sure. It shows me humility. It shows me a grace that they want to be safe and that they don't want to die and that they esteem my opinion. So I want to say, if you are unsure, go back until you have, exactly as Karin said, that peace and the confusion totally leaves you. But go back. Some seasons, some themes, some matters in my life, I go back a lot. I go double check because I don't want to know the shepherd's voice here, because if I swallow something from a stranger in this scenario, it's going to kill me and other people. So I need to make sure. We're not going to fear, but we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord. That's why we keep knocking, seeking, asking. Getting my train of thought back, in discerning between the stranger's voice and the shepherd's voice, two last things that I see in Scripture. Firstly is, how did the enemy come to tempt Jesus in the desert? He's the stranger's voice, by the way, if you've not caught on. What did he do? He used the word. Boom. The Pharisees also used the word and the hardness of their heart. So be careful. That's why we need to be humble. So the word can be contradicted and used with the wrong spirit and come as the stranger's voice. That's how sects come about very easily. That's how people are manipulating other people. Wives are manipulated by husbands. Wives manipulating households, etc. by religious jargon used with the wrong spirit. So that's how we do it. But what did he say to Jesus in the desert? He questioned, and he said what? If you are the Son of God. I believe the stranger's voice will often, more often than not, question your true identity. So if God has said, hey man, you're going to be a righteous man, and stuff happens in your life, there's sin, there's brokenness, and you repent, and there's humility, the enemy's going to try to gun you with a false identity. Are you really a righteous guy? Are you really righteous? Are you really righteous? If God has said something specific about you, we know our primary identity is sons and daughters of God. So he'll always go for that, because he said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. So the deceiver will come dressed up religiously, even coming with scripture, but at the heart of it, he'll question your true identity. That's how you discern his voice. And the second thing is, it happened way back with Adam and Eve at the tree. What was the serpent? Again, the stranger's voice. What was he saying back then? He didn't question identity, but he questioned something else. He questioned God. And he said, did God really say? So the shepherd speaks. You're like, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to go through the valley of shadow and death. We're going to park down at green pastures. We're going to sit at a table. Yes. Then life happens. You get tired. You get emotional. You get ticked off. And all of a sudden, the voice of the stranger comes along and say, did God really say? Did God really say? Did God really say? So there's a second way, I believe, that we can easily discern or help us to discern. And the last thing, who is love? God. God is love. Just my train of thought. Hear me out. God is love. Whose voice do we want to hear? God's. So we want to hear love's voice. So the fruit of what love say can only be what? Love. Love is not sexual immorality. It's not perversion. It's not the stuff conjured up by this world. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's laying down your life. It's dying for the flock. But a beautiful testing of the voice that you've been hearing is that, can this be saturated in love? Can this collate with love himself? For this is the voice of love. So the fruit of it must be love. I'm not saying feeling. It can include feeling, hallelujah. But real love, agape love, I've sacrificed and give my all at my expense for you, love. That's a good way to test, lastly as well. Will you stand with me? God, thank you for your voice. Thank you, Lord, that you come and help us to discern in this time. It's not a once-off. It's not, okay, cool, let's do it Sunday. It's every moment of every day in the war we are in that we need to discern between the voice of the shepherd that speaks and whispers and leads versus the voice of a stranger. But thank you that as we pray and as we humble ourselves and as we know that we truly and want to truly be sheep at heart, that we will know your voice. And the voice of another we will not follow. We don't stand upon our emotions or fear of falling or fear of being snatched. We stand upon scripture that says that if you're sheep, you will hear my voice and you will not follow the voice of another. We thank you for John 10. We make it our own. We say yes to it, not only individually for our marriages, for our families, for our children, but for this church community. Make it ours. May we step into and walk in this promise as sons and daughters of God to distinguish in humility well, if it is the Lord and if it's not the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we also know that when you do speak, it can sometimes be pretty whack. I say that with confidence, but also with humility. It's not always culturally fine. It's sometimes against what we believe or feel in our flesh, more often than not. And so help us to discern then in maturity to know this is the Lord's voice actually speaking to us. Just quickly, one or two things that we can pray before we run off. If you want to just have a stronger sense of discernment when it's the voice of another, when it's the voice of a stranger, just lift up your hand and I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you. Lord, thank you that we all, as we lift up our hands, say, we just simply want to, by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, nothing else, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, make us a people that discern and discern well. Lord, we know the pitfall of discernment, if it's immature, can be criticism and pride and self-righteousness. We don't want to step into that as well. We don't want to go judging other people, judging voices the whole time. That is not love. We want to be a people of love discerning well, a people mature enough to discern and say, no, thank you, but not judge and condemn. Give us sheep-like, humble hearts not to condemn other people, voices, churches, books, radio stations, TV personalities. Help us not to judge them, but not to eat and to discern well in maturity. And as we simply ask, Lord, please make us a people to discern well. And now in this moment where there's voices that we hear and think it's you, where it's not, please come and show us clearly in Jesus' name. I say, let there be light over each and every one of us in our circumstances to discern clearly what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. Expose the stranger so that it can be uprooted in our lives and hearts and our families and children. Secondly, Lord, we want to value your voice. Not as a nice to have, an add-on, not as a nice thing in the cupboard, but one of life and death. One of permanency in our life daily. So I want to ask for a grace that we truly value your voice and value the lead of your Spirit as a church community in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask also that you will speak to us in this season. Two things combined. If you want the shepherd to speak to you, if you want the shepherd to speak to you in this time, and also if there's old words that has not come to fruition, that you believe were of the shepherd, but you're unsure of. If that is the case for you, just lift up your hand. Just, I want to pray for both. There's old promises, words spoken by the shepherd, by Jesus, that you've become unsure of. You've kind of lost your faith, and you want to regain your faith on that. And then secondly, you're just saying, yes, talk to me. I want to hear, because I don't want to be snatched, and I want to follow you, and I want to persevere, and I want eternal life. Lord, thank you lastly, to pray this. Simply, please speak to us, but help us to listen. Give us ear to hear, ears to hear. And then, Lord, thank you where you have spoken to us. Help us to believe. Make it clear now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Make it clear in every spirit and every heart that needs clarity. I pray for clarity that was of the Lord or that was not of the Lord. That we can settle on it and live by faith and not be double-minded about what you have said as the shepherd. Thank you for a grace on that as well. Thank you for the blood of Christ over us and our families. And I know many seeds were sown this morning. May they bear fruit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.